up, my people? It's your boy Davido, and this is the special edition, Africa edition, billionaire edition of Business Entitled. Keep it locked. One love.
001, man, everywhere, worldwide, connected everywhere. They call me T-Mobile.
He's going to steal that one, trust me.
Don't steal it too.
He's going to be on a meeting tomorrow like, they call me T-Mobile, man.
All right, people. Special edition. Business Untitled. We've got the global superstar, Davido. I met him literally at the Knicks game. He was sitting in the better seats than we had, and I just liked the guy. And next thing you know, he fucking blew up the garden last night. Literally blew a hole in the goddamn roof of Madison Square Garden. Davido, thanks a lot, buddy.
What's up, sir?
Welcome, wow. Welcome. Good,
man. And life works crazy because, like, I literally, like, I dragged myself to go to the game, and I was just like, and just with life, like, he was like, you want a drink? You remember you were going to get a drink? You asked me if I wanted a drink. I was like, wow, like, that's so nice of you.
Uh-huh. You didn't try to steal your chain? Because that's
like,
what he
yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew he was joking, but he was like,
no, he actually
you want
wasn't.
A drink? I was like, wow. Like, it's been a long time somebody asked me if I wanted a drink. Uh-huh. And it was amazing, you know, to meet you. And a lot of values that I've used in my career and my life with being humble.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, like, 2 days later, when we took that picture,
yeah.
One of my dad's friends wrote me, do you know who that is? I said, no, it was just a nice man that offered me a drink and was sitting by me. He said, that's Mike Noble. I said, I Googled. I said, okay.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It was cool. Nah, but honestly, just amazing.
We're never going to hear the end of this.
Nah, honestly, it's just amazing to see, like, people just literally living life.
Yeah.
And not worrying about who they meet or judging about where you're from. He didn't know nothing about.
And let me tell you the back end of that now. The back end of that. He was like, man, I'm sitting next to this guy with this really big chain, and he sends me a message, and he says your name, and he Googled you, and then he said, holy shit, this guy's famous. He has 30 million followers. So it was super organic on both ends, right? Because he had no idea who you were. Exactly. You had no idea who you were, exactly. Who he was. And that's why I always say it just pay to be really nice to people. On you God. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. On God.
No. Well, I was going to say, Mel, tell a little bit about how this got started, like just what the mission is, you
so
know,
we
how,
started
what we're
this,
doing here. Yeah.
We started this podcast.
I want to hear this from the beginning. The same way I told you about my start.
I want to hear. So let me tell you how I met him.
Okay.
I met him 6 or 7 years ago at this point. I collect watches.
Okay.
So I had on the Bubba Watson, the Richard Mille.
I got one.
Well, he made me sell that one. I sold that one for like $550 and then it went down. So he made me, we was at Mike Rubin's, like housewarming or some shit.
Yeah.
So he was like, man, that's a plastic watch. How much is that watch? I was like, at the time it was like $150. I was like, it's like $150. He's like, you bought that for $150? Let me see it. So I gave him the watch. I don't know who he is. Okay. All of a sudden, he disappears. So I'm like, yo, where's the guy? Where's the guy with my watch? Like
the Bubba Watson.
The Bubba Watson. So everybody in the party is like, nah, don't worry, he's a billionaire, he'll be fine. I'm like, I don't give a fuck if this guy's a billionaire. I need my watch. 3 days later, he calls me, hey, your watch. I went to his house, and our friendship kind of started from there. He took a liking to me, started mentoring me. Wow. I met Dave a couple months later. They became my brothers and like my crash course in life and finances and how this started. It was just, I'm from Flatbush, you know, anybody.
Shout out Flatbush.
Shout out Flatbush. And I got so much education from, I'm a high school dropout. 10th grade, been shot, dropped out of high school.
He was much better looking before he was shot.
Still good looking. But, and I just entered this world of getting into real estate, got into Bojangles, got into a ton of different investments with these two guys and many other friends. Shout out to Ben Black, David Offa, a couple other guys, Stephen Manicharian, a lot of guys, a lot. I can't even, it's a list of names.
Wow.
And I was just like, yo, I'm always trying to, I took them to Flatbush. I took them to Trinidad, where I'm from, and everybody from Flatbush, I'm sure you know who they are because by way of me now, I was like, you know, the education that I'm getting here, we don't get in my community. Like, so I bring a lot of people to meet them, just to meet two billionaires and really talk. But I was like, how do we do this on a bigger scale where we could give my community, let them meet entrepreneurs and fucking investors and give them the game that I'm getting? And that's how this all started. And right away, Mike raised his hand, Dave raised his hand, and we created this. And we done had Snoop Dogg here. We had the owner of the Bucks here. We had the owner of Peloton here. Who else we had here?
Lots of people.
Lots of
great
Coach
people.
K.
We
Coach
have
K was here. Yeah,
DeVito. Hey.
Coach K still our number one episode. Coach K.
Yeah. He said Jeezy was better than Jay-Z.
Coach K was just with me in December in Nigeria.
No way.
Yes,
That's right.
Coach, so I'm gonna call him tomorrow. I'm gonna tell him your episode about to be number two.
That's right. Coach, he's coming.
We're going into the African diaspora. We are gonna
Coach came to Africa. He was, and what I liked about him coming, obviously not coming for me. Obviously, you have the fun, you do that, but he really tapped in. And you know, Coach loves art.
Yes, I saw that.
You know what I'm saying? Coach loves art. So he went to all the really artistic places. There's a place, we'll get into that later. Yeah. But there's a place called Nike Art Gallery. They do a lot of good art. You know, Coach tapped in. And yeah.
It's kind of like a joke, right? This whole podcast, a serious joke, but it's a black guy, a white guy, and a Jew. That's how it starts. Right? So I was born poor as fuck. He was born middle class, and Dave was born rich. He don't like to hear, but he was born rich. He always say rich-ish, but he was good.
So what was I born?
And you were born in Atlanta.
You were born super rich. Huh? You were born super rich, right?
Where were you born? Rich, poor, middle class?
I say I was born with discipline.
I like that. $1 billion behind the discipline?
Couple.
You got a tough dad, though.
I wouldn't say my dad was tough. My dad was just realistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My dad's very, even till date, like, I made $1.3 million last night. Does not faze my dad, no matter what. My dad's doing is discipline, respect, generosity. What can you do for your people?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's mostly what I was brought up on.
Yeah.
And I think those are one of the values that has helped me. There are many billionaires in Nigeria. There are many billionaires, even richer than my father. My dad's a billionaire, yes, but there are billionaires richer than my father. And there are people that have tried to do what I've tried to do. Music, entertainment. It doesn't even have to be entertainment. Whether it's a business you're running.
Yeah.
But mine has been successful because of the values I have.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Naturally.
Like, most people would look at it like it's a huge advantage. It is, right? But it can also bring its disadvantages, right? And it's really cool.
The biggest disadvantages I had was when I first dropped music was, the first thing was, is that as this. Well, I'll tell you this. I got accepted for one reason. And the one reason was, I'm good.
That's right.
I'm talented. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I would have ever been accepted if I wasn't good in what I do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
When did you start music? How young were you?
To be honest, when I like really said, okay, I want to be a musician, when I was like probably like 16, but like my family is big on entertainment. You know, my dad is the governor, my uncle is the governor of Osun State. You know what I'm saying? One of the biggest southwestern states in Nigeria. So if you look up on him, he dances a lot. So my family has very, my mom exactly, my dad and my mom, they used to throw parties for anything.
Sound like Mike.
Listen.
I throw a lot of parties.
You get an A in class, it's a party. You get 90% of your exam, it's a party.
Yeah.
Anything was a party. So with that, I just loved entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And my mom passed when I was 11.
Sorry, and then
just taking that, I just loved entertainment. And then I had a cousin. His name is MPZ. I know it's good to watch this. that was like, and guess what? I was the youngest out of my whole clan. When I say clan, I had a very big family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cousins, because we had a big house.
Mm-hmm.
So all my cousins, my auntie's cousins, you know, everybody. Mm-hmm. So I was the youngest, you know. So one day he came over. He was like, yo, David, I do music.
How old were y'all at that point?
At this point, I was like, and I remember because we were in the other side, the other wing of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this.
House bigger than yours, Mike.
I'm sure.
No, probably. But then he just told me, like, he does music. And I was like, ah. And that time, I've never seen anybody being in the studio.
Yeah.
I didn't even understand how music is being created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy, like, I'm hearing music. So he took me to the studio. So I went to the studio, and I walked in with my cousin, MPZ. I'm looking, and I'm seeing them create, like, how they do it. Like, oh, yeah, do it again. Record it. You know how you record?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm telling you, I think just, like, 10 minutes of looking,
mm-hmm.
I fell in love with, like, the process.
That's crazy.
So my first dream wasn't to be an artist.
To be a producer. That was my first dream, too.
Mm-hmm.
No, to be a producer, to be an engineer.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I already knew my dad was not going to let me be an artist.
Right.
Because in my family, it's been there for generations.
Yeah.
You go to the best school, you pass your exams, you graduate, and you go work for the company. Your office is there.
Yeah.
My
office, I've been in music for 12 years. My office is still there, dusty. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's.
Do you remember the moment when you decided, oh man, like, I like school, I respect it, but it's not for me, but this is what I'm doing.
I don't think there's ever a moment. I think it builds up.
Uh huh.
I don't think there's ever a moment like, nah, I'm not doing this. I think it builds up and builds up. And I think and I'll tell you the point, because at that point, I graduated in Nigeria. In Nigeria, the curriculum is, we use UK curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So we use IGCSEs. Like, we don't do, you know, in America you do, eighth grade.
Yeah.
Now, in Nigeria you do primary school, then you do year seven,
yeah.
Year eight, year nine, year 10, year 11, and then you go to A levels. So it's a UK, United Kingdom curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I remember when I got to year 11, I wanted to go to the UK because all my friends were going to the UK. My dad said, nope. And my dad's a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
You know what Seventh-day Adventist is?
Yeah. No,
you go to church on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, you going to America. So I got shipped to America when I was 16.
Damn.
I finished high school when I was 15.
What was that like, though? Was it a culture shock?
Nah, because I was going to America. I was born in America.
Yeah.
But I didn't live in America.
Yeah.
I was going there every summer.
You got relatives in Atlanta?
Yeah, yes. My mom went to Clark.
Oh, wow.
My dad, my oldest brother went to Morehouse. My dad graduated from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're Africans, but my family has always been going to America.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when I got to America at 15, but I've been going back. And I first went to Tennessee. First place I went to was Collegedale, Tennessee.
I only been there once.
Collegedale, Tennessee. So I went there, wasn't really my vibe.
Mm.
Shout out to Tennessee, ain't my vibe.
So I called my dad, I remember calling my dad like, oh, daddy, I don't like this place, I need to move, I need to go to another place. So he wants all of us to go to a Christian institution.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh-day, but he don't play with that today.
Right.
He don't play with that. So I went to Southern in Tennessee. Then from Southern, I was like, Dad, I don't like this. Can I test somewhere else that has the same, you know? Then he took me to Oakwood in Alabama.
Wow. Oh.
This is a very funny story. So my uncle drives into school. I'm like, all right, maybe I'm gonna like this, right? So I come down. So we going to register, and some guy just walked past me with dreads on, smelling like weed. I'm like, okay, register me. Uh-huh. This is where I want to stay. So from there on, I think that's what, like, I always loved music, and that was a big musical. They had the biggest choir. They used to win, like, the biggest choir. They had a big music program in that school.
Uh-huh.
So when
where's Oakwood? Is it Montgomery?
Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Huntsville, Alabama.
Rocket country.
Yeah.
That's what they had the space, what's that?
Yeah, the Rockets.
Yes.
NASA. I passed that NASA place. What are they go buy chops? Yeah. And they passed that NASA. We used to go watch when they about to take shuttle. Off. I used to see all of them. When they go space, come back. I'm telling you, I used to see all that stuff.
Remember that time you almost went to space? The Robin Hood thing? You almost went to space? You almost bid to go to space.
But anyway, I moved in the dorm. I want to finish the story.
Yeah, definitely.
So I moved in the dorm, and then, I was there for like a month. So I noticed there was somebody upstairs that used to make music. Like, I'll always be hearing this. But I never really cared. I'm just like, yeah, I just want to go to school.
Yeah.
So one day, something told me, go upstairs. And what's that noise? That's what's happening. So I went upstairs, and I knocked the door. Yo, what's going on here? So I opened the door. He was the choir director. So he was always making the thing where he was going to make for the weekend for the church.
Ah, okay.
So it was a studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I entered it. I was like, what is this? He bought me. I was like, yo, how much is all this setup?
Yeah.
He said, $1,500. Bro. I'm like, what? I'll probably get like 10 stacks a month. Yeah. Being 16 years old, mm-hmm. 10 stacks a month in college, that's all right.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
You know what I'm saying? So I bought everything, and that was really my moment of learning production. Because I told you already, the school was really big on music, on gospel music.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
So is that where you found your sound? Like Afrobeats? No. Or how did that happen, right? Because you're really like on the forefront of that, just even for people who don't know, right? He's one of the most famous guys that have ever shaped, right, the genre of Afrobeats. Is that correct?
I think.
How do you look at it?
I think what shaped my music was my upbringing, because I spent most of my time in Lagos.
Yeah.
So people really think, like, I only spent, like, maybe I'd say, like, 4 years straight in America. You know what I'm saying? But I was coming every year.
Mm-hmm.
But I really lived in Lagos. My dad has 5 kids. My family, we're 5 of us. I'm the last born. All my siblings went to school in London, America, Switzerland, whatever. I stayed in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go tonight. I didn't leave. I was going every year to America, but I didn't leave Nigeria to go live in America till I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from 1 year old to 14, that's really your base. No matter where you move from, you still got that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's, I'll say that, you know?
Mel, you'll always be Flatbush.
I'll always be that. Flatbush in Trinidad. I'll always be that.
When people talk about Afrobeats, what is that to you? Or what's, like, what, just for our audience, or, like, do you know what, Mike, you know what's, like, how would you define it?
I can dance well
See?
To it.
All right, so let's talk about it. Like, how do you describe
the
music?
Let me explain.
I got Davido and Birdo Boy. Those are my two.
Let me explain the origins of the genre Afrobeats.
Okay.
Afrobeat is really a term let me switch it. It's a genre that Fela started. Fela Kuti. You know Fela?
Fela Kuti, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My son's a huge fan, Nacho.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I swear.
Fela Kuti was really the one making Afrobeat music.
Okay.
Afrobeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So back then, you know what I'm saying, we had an amazing artist, still amazing, called The Banj. We had Two Face. We had P Square. We had Star Plus. We had, the name can go on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when African music was blowing outside Africa,
mm-hmm.
in the Western world,
which
was, I think, one of the first places that accepted African music outside Africa was, I'll say, the UK.
Wow.
Before it came to,
mm-hmm.
you know, America. You know what I'm saying? They termed, they put the African music under Afrobeats.
Mm.
You know, so Afrobeats is really what Fela started, originated, the sound.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain sound that's Afrobeats, that has Fela sound.
Uh-huh.
But now, if an African musician makes an R&B song, straight R&B, sounding like Caesar, sounding like Summer Walker, what would they categorize it as?
You still put it as
R&B. They wouldn't put it under R&B. If an African rapper sounds just like, let me give an example, like Drake.
Yeah.
What would they put it under?
Afrobeats.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't get offended when we've been categorized as Afrobeats. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we need a genre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to hear Afrobeats. It could be R&B. It could be Afropop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I call my music Afrofusion. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But okay. I'm not big on, put Afrofusion on my song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know how long it took. I know, even when I was in college, I used to play African music for my friends. They'd be like, what's that? That sound hard. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's crazy.
I'm talking before I was even singing.
Yeah.
That's hard.
So talk about the garden last night. So your first time in Madison's garden, you sell the damn place out.
Yeah.
Like, how do you think, like, you're your own business, right? You're a musician in your own business, so you rent the place yourself, right? What does it cost to rent the garden? How much, like, what are the economics of being a pop star, a global superstar?
Businessman.
It depends on what you want. You know what I'm saying? You can be a pop star that just want everything done for you, and all you got to do is just get on the stage and deliver. You know what I'm saying? But it depends on what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? 7 years ago, I walked past the garden, and I looked at myself and I'm like, I'm going to do this place one day. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot though. And economically,
expensive.
Yeah. And not just, I could go on the stage and we had the house was full, you saw it.
Yeah.
The house was full. There was no space.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on what you want to give to people. I could go on stage and have a regular stage blacked out with my DJ and perform, and every crowd will sing the same thing that happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we've gotten to a point, especially with African music and the culture as a whole, to deliver the best. You know what I'm saying? You got my creative director.
Yeah.
I'm calling him every day like, yo. He's like, I'm like, I don't even care if we break even. I don't care. I want to make the garden memorable. You know what? Look, 10 years ago, it wasn't cool to tell your friend, oh, I'm from Nigeria. Let's be real.
Nah, for real, he's right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, everyone's
lying. I remember when Africans used to lie that they're from Jamaica.
Yeah,
right. Am I lying?
Nah, you're telling the truth.
You know what I'm saying? Now they're like, I'm going to the garden. They're telling you, for what? For David O's concert?
Yeah.
Who's David O? An African artist?
Yeah.
They don't even let people rent the garden. You know what I'm saying? For that to be happening now, with the whole culture and people appreciating it, it's emotional.
You know what it brings me back to? We had a conversation once on this podcast about hip-hop streams going down, right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, like, the African fusion influence is also, as that's going up, if there's any relationship, right? Remember that conversation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, African music in itself just kind of, like, took off. So I don't know if that created some of the decline to hip-hop, but it surely open up the world to a new sound, and there's people who used to love hip hop that.
I don't think we affected it. I think it's just something new and fresh.
Yes, yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Something new and fresh.
And guess what? Hmm. Guess what? And that's why I keep telling people. We have a whole continent. It's like
1.4 billion people.
I'm trying to explain. It's like a whole, it's like, how many people you said?
I think it's 1.4 billion now in Africa.
It's like 1.4 billion people hiding a secret for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somebody just sees the secrets. We've been popping.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I did 8,000 people in New York 11 years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Where was it?
I don't know. It was just some big hall. You know what I'm saying? It was some big hall. But I'm just saying, like, we've been popping. Like, apart from, like, you know, you mentioned some artists that you know, but there's so many more artists that are big too.
Yeah.
That people don't, you know, tap into. But I'm telling you, if they let us in.
You kicked down the door for everybody.
I know.
And here's the thing, right? Like, coming from this traditional business background, your dad, you just said it, there's an office that's been sitting there for 12 years. Waiting for your return, that would never happen because.
No, don't say that too.
Don't say never.
It's too happen.
You don't want to get his dad calling. Yeah, yeah. Give him a case of whoop ass.
So listen, right? In a crazy, not in a crazy way, in a real way,
Yeah. You are the first one to step outside your family and create a multi-million dollar business outside of the traditional business your family is used to.
Yes.
Your family, your dad, friends, everyone got to be proud of that in the biggest way, because you now create a generational wealth outside of what maybe your grandfather, whoever, great-grandfather started, right?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that. What was that process of, like, creating your own business, and not just a small business, a massive business?
Yeah.
And
I think that would never have been possible without the support of my family.
Yeah.
Honestly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, like, my sisters, my brothers, my father, you know, rest in peace, my mom, but they're really involved with me. So I don't think I would have been able to branch out and stand strong without them. You know what I'm saying? It got the support of them and my family and everything. But, you know what I'm saying? God works in mysterious ways. You can't question God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bad things happen to me and I can't question God.
Yeah.
Good things happen to me and I can't question God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just been something I've just...
Is the story true? I read somewhere your dad tried to have you arrested at your first
not
show.
Not tried.
Wait, he did?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why?
His dad's tough.
No, my dad's a man. I don't think he's tough. I think it was just, I was 17, bro. I blew up when
Where was the show at?
I'll tell you a story. I blew up when I was 17 years old. Like, I literally, imagine you're a billionaire. You got a 17-year-old son. You send him to America. All of a sudden, you can't reach him. His mom, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're the sole parent of this. You send a Marine, man. Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about? So it was just like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he would.
I'd send the Marines. Mike would like get on his phone and like check something. He lost my kids in South Africa once for about 6 hours when they were 10 years old. That's another story. Let's let him finish the story.
Nervous. I was like, they're fine the way.
But anyway, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I told you, I'm first generation entertainer in my family.
Yeah.
There might be more later, but you know what I'm saying? He was just, I don't think he didn't want me to do music. He just wanted me to be successful in whatever I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got a blueprint for me
already.
You know, I'm the last child.
Yeah.
I'm the baby. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So imagine. You know what I'm saying? But he's been so supportive.
Yeah.
Like, he checks on everything. Like, have you mixed the record? Are you sure?
Yeah.
When is it coming out? Bro, are you sure? I think we should. My dad picks what? Who picks my album?
That's crazy.
My dad picked, my dad literally, I send him my album when I'm finished, and he literally goes through all the records and gives me, like, at least a paragraph each. Son, because my family, like I told you, were music orientated. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad knows music. He's just a rich ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows music. So
from being arrested. Sorry.
No, go on. No.
Oh, wait. Let me tell you that. I'm sorry. So when I was in school, when I moved back, right, to Nigeria.
Yeah.
He didn't know. So he was looking for me. I told you, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, Daddy, I want
to. How long he was looking for you for?
Like 3 months, 4 months. You know what I'm saying? So when I got back, then I start, you know, I'm doing my thing, blah, 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 blah. Start popping off. Like, who's this on the radio? Then he sees a show. You know how he do a show?
Yeah.
Whatever, Summer Jam, blah, blah, blah. Performing live, blah, 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 blah. Davido. And he gave me that name.
Oh, wow.
My dad gave me the name, Davido.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So from there, he's like, what, Davido? And then his friends outside me like, yo. Your son kind of, he getting popping a little bit. The first show I do, what? He arrested me, the fans, the promoter. But not arrest, like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like. Yeah. But, you know, obviously he just wanted me to just complete school, which I did eventually.
Yeah.
What
was the moment he realized, holy shit, this is a real thing.
When my song was the president's, when my song was the president's ringtone.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah.
My song was the president's ringtone.
That's
Am
crazy.
I Dami Dudo? Yeah, so it was calling like.
And the World Cup, last World Cup, your song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I performed, but that was later on in my career. But you know, but I did a World Cup. I did a World Cup.
So. What did you take from Atlanta versus Lagos? Right, you're the first person that like been in two major cities, two very different cultures. Yeah. Like, what you took from each one?
I'd say my African culture has brought me. I don't know for anybody else. I say culture and respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I've gotten it from Africa, and I think from the Western world, I think I've gotten exposure. When I say exposure, there's some things that some people back home don't really get, like, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've gotten two sides of that. Mm-hmm. But my culture, Africa, were big on respect. That's when I came downstairs, I had 20 people waiting, but yeah. We walked in with four people to ask, can we bring, you know, that's just how we are.
Yeah,
and then you were like, nah, come on, bring everybody. But, you know what I'm saying, just and it helps me in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I can go to Africa and relate to people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can come to America and relate to people. You know what I'm saying? And I can be in between as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's helped me a lot.
What other businesses spark your interest? Do you ever think about things like businesses beyond music?
Of course.
Yeah. So which ones?
You've got a jewelry business. Look at that.
Uh-huh. No, I don't have a jewelry business. I have a creative company
called
Coco House.
How's that work? What's it do?
First of all, we started out as like doing stages for me. Like, if you see the stage, I don't know if you watched the show yesterday.
Nah, I didn't see it. Yeah, I seen a little clip. On
but like
phone.
My stages, production.
I tried to go. Mike said, "Nah, you only want me to come."
I told you to come. You're like, but like we do like production for myself, but we do it like for other people.
Uh-huh.
And it's really like a media house for creatives. I'm trying to start up, and then me and my brother, we're trying to start like a crypto, little crypto stuff.
Uh-huh.
My brother Hunter.
There go the guy.
We actually started a couple years ago. You know, we tried to do something with Nas one time. But we just try and do that because Nigeria is big on crypto.
Yeah.
Apart from that, me and my family, we actually distribute like the most, we have like four power plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, worth like a lot of money. We distribute energy to like most of Nigeria. My wife too, she does like culinary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to start like a restaurant for her, cutlery and stuff like that. But mainly my main business is what I love, which is my music.
Yeah.
So if you had, I want to turn it to you now and you could be the host and they could be the guest for a little bit. Cause we relate, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm not as rich as you, but, you know.
How you know that? How you know
I'm
that?
I'm from the hood. So, but if you had questions for a guy who started multiple companies, was at Goldman Sachs, left, started a fortress that became a $100 billion company, a guy that started, you know, one of the biggest real estate companies in New Jersey, one of the biggest developers, owned 12 hotels. If you could ask them questions about business, boom, here's his shot. Crypto, and now he has a crypto company that's blowing up.
I wouldn't even ask him questions about wealth. I really ask you a question about your day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like people that just get excited about wealth wouldn't get to where y'all at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I just want to ask, like, where did it start from, and when did you guys realize that, all right, I'm lit, but I got to be cool. I've got to help people.
Well, I think it's not that different than your story. Like, both of us were wrestlers. Wrestling is all about being disciplined. I used to get up every morning. I would deliver the paper at, like, 6 in the morning, 5:30. I was, like, a 100-pound kid, you know, hoping you didn't get attacked by the dogs to make enough money. Mm-hmm. Then you go run to get in shape for wrestling. Then you'd work out. And so there was a discipline that was just part of your life. My dad was in the military, so it was a relatively tough household. He got in trouble, boop! He had long arms, he'd whack you. And so, like, my whole life I've gotten up early. I get up really early and worked hard. And so it's a grind. I like it, but, you know, people say, you work 40 hours a week? I was like, yeah, double that, you know. I play hard. I probably have more parties than anybody, maybe outside your family. But I think that started really with a discipline and a sense of respect. And that, like, discipline is respect. We started a wrestling charity called Beat the Streets, get kids off the streets. And the idea was, if you could teach kids toughness, discipline creates toughness, it creates leadership. Wrestling's a hard sport. I mean, it's not fun. You get the shit beat out of you, you're exercising.
I box a little.
Yeah. And so that was kind of the, that's carried on. And quite frankly, when I do poorly, it's because that discipline fades.
Being a wrestler was a really important part of both of our upbringings. And you had talked before about, you know, even being growing up in a wealthy family, right? You were talking values, respect, hard work. Like, these things are what, you know, we're taught as kids. And I think in my instance, Mike's interest, just to start to the beginning, that wrestling was something that there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to hide, right? It's just you have to show up for that. And that starts to talk about that. But in terms of my interest in business, I don't know, around my house, there was always like a curiosity, a discussion around concepts. Sometimes it was politics, sometimes it was business. And I think it bred a confidence in some way early on, and like, oh, like, I can do this, you know, like just really, you know. And you had said before, I said, what was that moment? And I don't know what the moment was for me. I have moments, perhaps, but there's something about building a base, doing something, being in that, and then having that experience and building more on that, right? Understanding your capacity to influence the world, change the world in better ways. And for me, I was on that ladder, just climbing and climbing and climbing. And at some point in time, had to balance that with like, okay, how do you really put back into the world? It's not, you could climb that ladder forever at some point in time. And so you got to balance that with like, how am I making a contribution? What can we do? You know, kind of like the genesis
buy the
of
world.
This.
Like, you want to buy the world?
That's right.
You
know, yeah, it gets, it's not interesting after a while. And what were you going to say, Mike?
No, keep going. Keep going.
No, I was just going to say, so I think, like, in terms of us, we came at it from slightly different places, but, like, for me, something there's about a curiosity. I love business still. I love investing in new companies. I love empowering other people to invest in their own ideas, and I think that's really fun to figure that out and be a part of that. So that still motivates me.
I want to flip back to Africa for a second, because I didn't want to leave Africa. Because, listen, there are, you know, how many continents? 6 continents? Count Australia. Africa is in a unique position in that it's the youngest population we've ever seen in the world, right? The average African country is 21 years old.
Africa?
Yeah,
it's the youngest
it's
country
so young,
in the world.
It's so young. It's growing so fast. And so, listen, if Africa can get its act together in terms of governance.
I'm telling you, it's over.
If it can get its act together,
telling you,
it's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we keep saying. You know what I'm saying? We haven't had the best leaders, yes.
No.
But I'm telling you, I remember there's, I've forgotten his name. Very guy, I think he studies in one of these universities in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He said something. He said, if Africa know what they have, it'll be the greatest continent in the world.
Half of Africa is under 21 right now. That's a crazy statistic.
How we get them now? It's crazy.
You got a lot of fans. A lot of potential fans.
Half of
21. But it's crazy. Half of Africa is under 21. And so the way I look at it is if you can get investment in education, if you can get infrastructure, if you can unleash that talent, it's going to be the richest continent around. If not, we're going to have a lot of migrants, right? And so you really, to me, the world needs to focus on investing in Africa, helping where they can, empowering Africans to take control of their own countries, you know, because it's either going to turn out awesome or it's going to turn out not so good.
I'm telling you, and what we have in Africa now is the creatives. Obviously, we got the oil, we got the energy, we got all of that.
We'll soon have the Bojangles.
I'm telling you, the creative, the tourist part of Africa is really growing now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially real estate. Tourism, nightlife. It's going crazy. I'm telling you.
Have you done any Nollywood stuff? We were talking about. I got a friend, Genevieve Naji. Shout out, Genevieve.
Shout out, Genevieve, man. I haven't done.
When I first met her, she had more Instagram followers than any African entertainer, and it was like 7 million. And you got 30. So there's a new king in town. The queen is dead, long live the king.
Man, like I was even talking. I was actually about to.
But is that happening in Nollywood? Is it getting bigger?
Right now, most of the African movies, they be number one global on Netflix.
It's been that way for a while, though.
Even since time, since I can't popo, those.
Not for a while.
What those African?
All right. In the hood, African movies been a thing gone for a since long time.
See, those I can't popo.
Like literally for 10 years now, my sister used to sit there and watch everybody. It's like a big thing. Maybe it just got around like
In Flatbush.
Yeah.
Stop, I'm telling you, everywhere.
Yeah. In the hood, everywhere in the hood. We love African movies.
It is a huge industry, right? It's like almost as, I think it's about as big as India's industry. Yeah, it's close, Mike. It's like telling you, I've looked at it.
What's that guy's name? Yo, they've been outside his house.
Shahrukh Khan.
I see every day outside his house, like 50,000 people.
Wait, what?
Shahrukh Khan. I walked down the street with him once. In Vancouver.
I thought
you were with Elvis.
You know, a lot of Indians in Canada too. Big. Outside his house in India, like 50,000. You know,
every day people just go to his
guy's
house.
Even my house, people be outside my house, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
His shit be like, oh, bro.
Nobody gonna stand outside your house, Mike.
Nope. you gotta know how to dance or sing or act.
But yeah, like, you know, that's one of the things I was talking to you about. Like, yo, we gotta tap into Africa. You know what I'm saying? I got a creative house. I got crypto. I got energy. But what I want to do, most importantly, to be honest, is help the people.
When you have a concert like last night in Africa, is it a different vibe?
That's the concert we got to go to. The next concert you have in
Nigeria.
We're coming to Nigeria. 100%. The next one you have in there.
Tell us when.
We coming.
Have Jet, we'll travel.
No, I want to invite you to my... No, I'll invite you to something in June. Right. I don't want to say it.
You do big conference in... Do you do music festival in Atlanta, too?
Yeah.
Is that happening this year yet, or it's happening...
Every year on my birthday.
November 21st.
November 21st, Scorpio Gang. But yeah, it's something that I wanted, because I've been doing shows in Atlanta, but I wanted something to last. You know what I'm saying? Even when I say, okay, I know what to do music again.
Yeah.
So, you know, we call it Away Fest. Away Fest means, are we African yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which means, yes.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes, you're supporting the culture. Yes, you're loving the music. But are you really supporting the Africans in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, if I could, I'd tell Live Nation, yo, send all the money back home. You know what I'm saying? If I could.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that was the whole point of the festival. And the whole point of the festival also is bringing, because I go to the clubs in out here, and I'm hearing artists that can't even get here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, they played your song 5 times in the club.
And they can't get a visa to get in.
He's like, I'm trying to get my visa. I'm like, bruh.
It's crazy.
Wow.
I'm looking at girls going crazy to your stuff, and you can't get here?
Yeah.
So that's one of, like, the things I started the festival for. So every year, we want to bring, like, the biggest artists or the hardest.
So you help them get their visa, help them travel.
Not only visa. Like, some people can get their visas already, but some people just don't have the platform to perform these arenas.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of them can come here and do their thing, but, like, they don't get opportunities. So I want to do, like, every year, bring, like, the hottest artists to come perform.
Man, that sounds great. And it's all, like, African-based artists, and you're just doing,
African-based artists, but I think after the next one, I want to collaborate with, like, the West Indians, the Caribbean, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What you do back in, like, I do this toy drive and food drive every year in Trinidad for, the last 5 years. Yeah. Is there anything you do out there, for your community itself,
twice a year, I give out like 150,000, 200,000 to motherless babies' homes.
That's fire.
I saw last night you paid someone's student loans off.
Yeah, 50,000.
There was a girl who said, pay my student loans off, and he came out and gave her 50K.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
Shout out for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
That's changed some of the best things in the world.
Year I give out, you can Google it. I give out, and you know what I do? And I this one thing I love. And that's one thing that made us win the election. My uncle's the governor now.
Mm-hmm.
Because my family were big on transparency. My dad is big ultra. My dad will show you every account.
Mm-hmm.
We're big ultra experience. So we give out, there was one year on my birthday. I'll tell you this, very big story. You need to hear this. On my birthday, when I, when was this? Yeah, but what year was it? 2 years ago? 3 years ago. So I wanted to buy a, I just bought my Cullinan and I just made a joke online. I was like, yo, my fans, send me money. I'm gonna, cause you know, when you buy a car in America, when you ship it to Nigeria, you basically about to pay the same shit to clear it. So I was like, I just bought that car like 540,000. I just made a joke. I was like, oh, my fans, send me money. I want to clear my car, like a joke. And I had an account where, like, some account I made.
Yeah.
And I even had no money in it. I just posted it.
How much money you got in that shit?
I made, like, 600,000.
Get the fuck out of here.
Check it.
Go now, that's your new strategy.
I just sold my color, and I would have gave it to you and said I sold
you,
it last
I'm
week.
I'm telling you. They paid me, like, what was it? It was crazy. Like, so, and then the rate was good. So I made, like, a lot. So I'm like, so I'm going crazy, like, what?
That's crazy.
And my dad called me. My dad's like,
you got to give that away.
That's how I feel like, yeah! Villainous thing, my dad was like, you know you can't keep that, right? Honestly, I was going to give some away. I was going to keep like a little.
something, right?
Nah, he said, nope, you know you're giving that away. You know, so from then, so I gave it away to motherless baby songs.
I love that.
So every year we just do it.
Nice. We got to go over to Nigeria for a concert.
Yeah, we got to go to
Nigeria. I was in
man.
Ghana with Mel last year, right?
Yeah,
we went to Accra
year.
For
he
that.
Was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, what was this?
We were
what
just
was that,
no, like, it was a year ago. It was the year before.
It was the Chance had a concert for who was it for?
Oh, the Black Gold Volta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
the
Volta stuff.
Yeah,
I was about to come for that.
And you know what's cool? Like I think like in terms of like supporting Africa, getting more connection. Like once you go over there and really feel that energy, because there's so much narrative that goes on in the media in general, right?
Yeah.
And to go over, that's why we got to go to Nigeria because it's just so different. It's so cool. It was one of the best experiences of my life, right? You had never. Been to Ghana. I had never been to Ghana before, so
trust me, if y'all come to Nigeria, bro.
Yeah, it's
we
like
go by
level
you,
up.
We have an amazing time.
Yeah. You know, I always dreamed of doing some business in Nigeria or Ghana. It's like the, always my whole life.
Yo, Lagos is
felt like
Lagos is the food central, bro. Hey, when I wake up, what I ask you every day? Hey, where can I go and eat today? Like, it's different. Like, and what they do now. They're really big on how they do it. The restaurants that be having the entertainment, the fire stuff.
Oh,
you know
like
the restaurant. How do I explain? Like
damn, I want to go.
You know
Bagatelle?
Where they throw the napkins, breaking plates and stuff like that.
Mike, you've been talking about going to Lagos for years.
What's
up with that?
We got to get there. I had the Senegal Lagos Ethiopia trip in my
Shout
mind.
Shout out to Senegal. They just elected a 44-year-old president.
I love
awesome.
That.
Amazing.
Wow, that's impressive.
He was in jail for nine months. He came out. 2 weeks, he was a president. It's crazy.
Man, that's crazy.
44 years old.
Does your music have like, so I knew in Nollywood it was Ghana, Nigeria, Jamaica. Do you go Pan Africa? If I'm in East Africa, do they know your music? Or in South Africa,
yeah,
do they know your
everywhere.
Music?
Everywhere.
I'm asking.
Sounds like a white man question.
It's a question.
One. Say one.
One.
Yeah, man. 001, man. Everywhere, worldwide, connected everywhere. They call me T-Mobile.
He's gonna steal that one. Trust me.
Don't steal it.
He's gonna be on a meeting tomorrow. Like they call me T-Mobile, man.
But yeah, you know, I've been blessed to have every, you know, and what I did in the beginning of my career, I was smart. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, when I had my first big record in Africa. When I get a show in every country, guess what I do?
What's that?
I land. I tell the promoter, who's the biggest artist here? Bring him. We get in the studio, do a record. So everywhere I was going, I was giving all the biggest artists
nice.
Their records.
Mm-hmm.
So before I knew it, in like 5 months.
What's your favorite collab you've done? I don't say your favorite because I didn't want to get pissed off.
I can't
give
choose.
Me a couple of them.
I can give you a couple artists I love working with.
Yeah.
Chris Brown, number one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Made an amazing record.
Mm-hmm.
An artist from Nigeria called Kiss Daniel. We work quite well together. Who else? I say Zlatan is a rapper from Nigeria. Who else? I'm Big Me, man.
One of the things I would say, I never really knew you. I met you maybe once or twice, like somewhere.
Where we met?
I think Miami on a boat somewhere like 5 years ago. Just briefly though, okay. Jet skis with Zoe and a couple of other people out there. But one of the things I always observe from afar, not knowing you, is just how humble you moved around, how you fucked with everybody, how everybody just, you know, it was no arrogance, no cockiness how you moved. Like, even shout out to Casanova from Flatbush. You was one of the first big stars to endorse him, you know what I'm saying? And at the time, I think he had, what, one record just on the come up, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Free Cass, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Just watching that. I think Cass went to Africa and did.
Was that with you, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, just even watching
Cass came to Africa with me. Lil Baby came to Africa. Da Baby came to Africa. Who else? Kai Sanat just came with me. Mm. You didn't see the stream?
That's fire, bro.
Kai Sanat was with me in Africa for like a couple days. A lot of people.
That's dope. I love that, man.
Well, Davido, this is pretty awesome. So we debated hard what this podcast was going to be called. It was going to be Business Untitled. But Dave used to start coming and bringing an ounce of gold for everybody. And I wanted to call it an ounce of gold, but I got shot down. But we still give everyone who comes here an ounce of gold in exchange. It's an ounce of gold. Right now it's worth $2,400. We got our one sponsor, JM Bullion. Shout them out because they called us up and they said, we love what you're doing and we're going to give you the gold. Because Dave was like running out of gold.
I wasn't running out, but...
How many gold you got, dude?
He's got a lot of gold.
He's got a pile like Aladdin.
He literally has a pile of gold. He give everybody gold coins.
Give everybody a gold coin. Right now, an ounce of gold is worth about $2,400. It's on its way to $4,000.
As part of that, we ask, what is the ounce of gold that you want to leave listeners with? You said a lot of great stuff here, and we're fucking grateful to have you on.
Yeah, we are.
But just like your ounce of gold, if you want to leave people with like one.
For the young musicians, the entrepreneurs, the dreamers, if you just had to give them some advice.
I mean, just when you be successful, just be open-minded. If I wasn't open-minded, I don't think I would be sitting in this chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have grabbed my chain. I could have been like, why are you on my chain?
Wait, he actually grabbed your chain?
What the fuck is wrong with you? I was sitting behind him.
He grabbed his chain.
He's going to get shot one of these days.
Let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm just open. It wasn't even that. I was just happy to see somebody even embrace what I've worked so hard for. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy that you guys really brought me here. And you know what I'm saying? You know, heard my story.
Yeah.
And trust me, us sitting out here, you don't know how many artists, how many people back home this is going to inspire. To see that I can sit here with 2 billionaires and a nigga from Flatbush. and we can all discuss and just be free-minded. And it's just beautiful to see. You know what I'm saying? And I wish more people that have your kind of success do the same thing. It'll change the world, man.
Beautiful, man. Awesome. Well, we are grateful to have you here.
Yeah, really, man.
Great energy, man.
I gotta tell you a chain story. I gotta leave this off with a chain story. So everywhere you go, he would borrow some kind of rapper chain, somebody chain. So for his birthday, maybe 4 years ago, I said, you know what? Let me get him a chain. I bought him a $50,000 chain, gave it to him. I'm like, got your own chain now. I never seen the chain.
You can't wear your own chain as a white guy. A white guy can't wear his own chain. He can steal a black guy's chain and wear it all night long. But he can't wear his own chain.
Where's the chain at? He don't wear the chain.
I wore it to your music.
I wore it once.
Okay.
So don't ever buy him a chain. Let him borrow your chain.
Guys, that's another episode of Business Untitled. Davido, thanks a ton.
Thanks a ton. Thank you. Y'all saw it. OBU. Bye. Check it out.